According to experts, Peach weighs 41 pounds and loves to eat hot dish and tater tots and cross-country skis. You know, dreams to see, but the real dream he has is to see the Northern Lights, I'm told. According to...
Well, can one pardon oneself? We do this turkey pardon every year, and I tell you, I was a little, one of my biggest complaints with Trump, let's make everybody mad right away, is that he didn't just take an axe and just whack one of them turkeys' heads off when he was president. Maybe we can do that now. Like, we can do that this time. You think so? Like, now with POTUS coming in. So Biden, I don't know when this got started, and I always like to talk about it whenever it happens. It's one of my favorite things actually to talk about, because the whole thing fascinates me. Is it two turkeys now? Are they pardoning two turkeys? Was it always two turkeys, though? Or was it...
That's a good question. It was always...
I feel like we're just, like, adding turkeys. Like, you know, we're just sticking them on there. Like, you know what? You get pardoned, too. But they don't eat them, do they? These are the ones they don't eat because they think the PETA people would be upset, wouldn't they?
The point of the pardon is that they don't get eaten.
Well, I mean, you know, they could lie. I would. I'd be like, yeah, sure, we're not going to pardon these turkeys. You know, in the meantime, everybody's sharpening their knives in the back.
It's a horrible thing to think
about. No, I don't care. I want meat. Don't care. So I'm going to warn you guys. So I had a working weekend and I got back a little bit late yesterday. So do not mistake my good nature and laid backness for anything other than a momentary thing, because we're going to be back to full, like, chaotic, neurotic strength here coming up. So don't get too excited about it. Kane was like, I'm already excited. So it's going to be a little loopy today, because you know how it is kind of when you're tired. And I'm not complaining at all. I'm actually pretty chill, but it's going to be loopy. So that's why we're talking about the turkeys first. I first off, welcome back. Welcome to everybody. We're at the top of this first hour. It's Monday. And there's a lot of stuff, obviously, a lot of stuff to get into. I'm trying to put it off as much as I can. I don't know if you can tell. Oh, because I want everybody to be in a good mood going into Thanksgiving. You know, I mean, look, you still have some things to be in a good mood about. Some of these picks, they're not so great, you know, Kane? These picks, which we're going to talk about. I mean, maybe one of the picks could be up there with the turkeys. I don't know. I'm talking about politically speaking. Don't get excited, people. So, got the turkey pardon. Hunter wasn't there this year. He was at one of the previous ones. So, I don't know. I just think it's kind of funny that they do this every single year. And that it's like two turkeys now. So, the turkeys of the picks. Good gosh. Now, Lorraine's got a piece that's publishing actually within this hour over at Substack, because we're going to go through all of these here coming up. So if you're a subscriber and maybe you're like one of those people who like to kind of follow along with the show, you're going to be able to do that with her piece, because this is there's some concerning things here that we got to worry about. His cabinet, there's some scratchers. Like, it started really good, and then we were all like, what? Wait, what? What? Whoa, what? And then, you know, there's a couple full stop. So you can get that over at Substack. And by the way, you can also access, we got all our podcasts linked up there, Channel 347, DirecTV, all that good stuff. I just want to get right into this. So we've got, just to recap, you've got Elise Stefanik pulling from the House, U.S. Ambassador to the UN. You got Lee Zeldin, who's over at the EPA. You got Mike Waltz, who's NSA. You've got John Ratcliffe, Director of the CIA. Totally fine with John Ratcliffe. I think that's a great choice. Pete Hegseth, SecDef, totally fine. Christine Ohm was a head scratcher for me, because I'm like, she has absolutely no skills at all whatsoever to make her Department of Homeland Security. But if loyalty is important to POTUS, there's a difference between loyalty and submission. And I hope that people in his inner circle realize this, because someone can act like they're submitting to you, but you know they're not being loyal. You know that those people will stick the shiv in and twist, rhetorically speaking. So you got to watch out for that. Rubio over at Secretary of State, there could have been worse choices. He's fine. Tulsi Gabbard over at DNI, I get that she was on a list before, and that that kind of seems like a big finger in the air. The reason why I question her, and this is not out of anything of maliciousness, is because I am unsatisfied with the answer that she gave, and it's not about guns. She gave an answer as to why she doesn't support gun control. And she went out there supporting a national registry, an assault weapons ban, the whole nine yards, red flags, all of it. She was pushing for all of that. I've got receipts. I've got lots of tweets. I've got lots of video, just FYI. So I'm not saying this because I'm making it up. I have all these things. And it's stuff that she has said with her own mouth and typed with her own hand. I'm totally fine with people having 180 conversions. Completely fine with that. But I think that it's not beyond the realm of reason to say, can you explain why you changed your mind? Because we want to understand your thinking. And yes, I want to make sure that it's a real conversion, especially if we're considering you for literal head of an intel agency. And why is that important? Because gun owners have been literally called domestic terrorists by sitting members of Congress. And if there's any vestiges of any two-way hesitation, I think that that's important and should be divulged. And I think it's important to you because we've literally watched all of these entities be weaponized us for completely random things the past 4 years. Mom and dad speaking up at school board meetings. If you go, like, remember when they were going into the parking lots at gun shows and taking everybody's license plates down? Okay, so this is why I bring all this up. I'm sure she's lovely. I'm sure I'd get along with her real well. But I want to know about this stuff. And as a free American who celebrates a country that was literally, and I'm using that word twice now in a 2 minute span, but who a country that was a republic that was founded on overthrowing this overreach of the crown and big government, essentially, I think it's incredibly important in keeping with our American DNA and the history of this republic. We have the responsibility, actually, we have the mandate from that was established and affirmed by the founders in our founding documents to ask these questions. That's why I ask them. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. at HHS, I actually don't support that. I don't support it because I agree with him on the COVID vax. That's great. This is also a guy who has pushed climate change stuff hardcore and has said that people who are over at Exxon and all this other stuff should be put to death. I mean, he actually said this in video. We've played it. He's really pushed for gun control, although he's kind of walked that back. He's been totally quiet on due process. And why is all that important? Why are all of those things important for HHS? It's because HHS was the entity under the CDC as a part of that through which the rent moratorium came. All of these completely unconstitutional edicts that hurt people really, really bad, and some of them weren't able to last the time span it took from issuing the edict to litigating it and finally getting it overturned by a court. I think all of that, especially since these things have been expanded and weaponized, it is incredibly important that we know we didn't do that. It's not our fault. The left did it. But unfortunately, now that means I want to know where you stand on issues that you might actually overreach your department for. And he was literally just a Democrat a second ago, third times in 5 minutes. He was a Democrat until just a second ago. So that's why I asked that. When you've been a Republican and you've got a history of fighting in the trench, or just as a conservative, and you've got a record of advocating for all of the right things, I question it less. But when you're a brand new person to the movement, brand new, you were legit like backing like hardcore left causes just like a beat ago, you absolutely have the right to question all of this stuff, and you should. You're not betraying anyone. I mean, these people are employees, but you didn't get to vote for them. So that's why you get to question this. So we got Doug Collins, Secretary of the VA. Fine with that. I don't understand Doug Burgum as Secretary of the Interior. I have a friend who was, I didn't realize she was such a Doug Burgum fan, but she was trying to make the case for Doug Burgum for me. And I was just laughing my head off. We were driving back last night, we were in Austin, and just was looking at my friend's messages, and I'm like, when did you become like his fan club president? And I was just joking with her. I was like, I didn't know you knew so much about Doug Burgum. Chris Wright over at Secretary of Energy, Sean Duffy, none of these I have problems with. Sean Duffy at Secretary of Transportation, totally fine. He's miles better than the DEI hire. Howard Lutnick, Secretary of Commerce, totally good with that. Linda McMahon, Secretary of Education, I really wish we could get rid of that department. Otherwise, fine with that. Pam Bondi, AG, no. We've talked about that. We'll dive into that more. Scott Bessent, Secretary of Treasury. We're going to talk about that coming up. We're also going to talk about, now here we go. Here are the other really, really rough picks. We have the rough picks here. And those rough picks include Lori Chavez Drammer, who's the Secretary of Labor nominee. No. And you have HUD, Scott Turner. Some of these I just have major problems with. We still have left CEA, SBA, Trade Rep, and OSTP. So we got a lot of stuff still. We're going to talk about some of these just to kind of get you to get you up to speed on all of it. But that's, you know, kind of where the lay of the land is right now. Now, some of the other stuff that we're getting into, because we got the cabinet, all of that. We got Thanksgiving coming up this week. And of course, don't forget that one doctor over at HHS, which we're going to talk about her hardcore. That's one that we absolutely have to discuss. So we're going to dive into all of this stuff. Also on deck, not in addition to just, you know, the cabinet nominees and all of that stuff. One of the things that we're learning, we're starting to get a little bit more in terms of specifics about what the president is looking to do, not just with military, but also with energy. We heard last week that he wants to immediately kickstart the Keystone XL pipeline, which that might be tricky. And I say it might be tricky because after Biden-Harris got in, they already started decommissioning it. They ended the project and they started digging up parts of the pipeline that they had actually already buried. So I don't know if you go and redo that, or would a company even want to do that knowing that they only have 4 years, if that, because you have midterms coming up. And everything about midterm health depends on all of the moves that Trump makes right now. That's why it is super important to get all these nominees right. You are on, he's limited to 4 years. We got to do all this again in 4 years. He's limited to 4 years. That was a reason that some of the people in the primary were a little concerned. So he cannot spare a second. That is why getting this stuff right out of the gate and making wasting no time is so important, because midterms, that cycle, guys, starts in like a year. I know. You're like, are you? It does, though. And everything starts earlier and earlier. So it starts in like a year. So this is all the stuff that we got to deal with. But he also said one of the other things that's coming out, according to a report, is that he's going to jettison transgender troops out of the military, medically discharged his first day in office. And I found that to be incredibly interesting. So now it's a report that's coming up. And so we're going to kind of see, if that's something that is actually confirmed. But that's something that they have. And I do agree. I mean, it is. I mean, and I think you agree with this too, Kane. It's a mental thing. It's a mental thing. So this is something that's going to definitely come up, confirmation stuff too. We got a lot to hit. Our partners at ReadyWise, they're always ready even if you're not. Security is built on preparation. And that's, everybody knows that. And you always got to think ahead. You know, what if there is a supply chain disruption? What if there's a natural disaster? The last thing that you want to worry about is, gosh, what is my family going to eat? Because you guys know if a snowstorm comes in, people go to the stores and the shelves are stripped. Usually a French toast supplies. I don't know. But you don't want to ever have to, you don't ever want to find yourself in a situation where you can't feed your family in the event of something like this. So take charge of your own safety and well-being. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use promo code Dana20 at checkout, and you're going to get 20% off your entire purchase. They have an array of product choices for every single budget. They got an emergency one-month supply, two-bucket bundle. They have a three-month emergency food supply. All of this is designed by their team of in-house culinary experts to make sure you get all the calories that you need to power through the day, your protein requirements, all of that. It's perfect for any emergency. They do the thinking for you. You know the chain of command. You got U.S. ingredients packed in a U.S. plant, so you can trust where your food comes from. And you're also going to get premium survival food that has the best taste on the market. Comfort in a crisis and beyond with a 25-year shelf life. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off your entire purchase. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, Chuck Woolery back in 2 and 2. He followed me on Twitter, which I thought was like as cool as I'll get it. I wish I could travel back in time and tell like 10-year-old Dana watching Love Connection with her grandma at 11 o'clock on a Friday night, like, this guy's going to follow you on Twitter and he's going to say smart things. He's passed away. He was 83 years old. I also did not know that he was the original Wheel of Fortune host. I did not know that. Did you know that? Like, Pat Sajak wasn't technically the OG. Didn't know that. Also interesting, Pat Sajak conservative, Chuck Woolery conservative, both hosted Wheel of Fortune. Just saying. So Chuck Woolery, he was a real one. Justin Trudeau slammed as cringeworthy videos show him shaking it off at a Taylor Swift concert while Montreal burned. Oh, you mean Lil Castro was out there like completely behaving inappropriately optic-wise while his country was like, you know, into chaos? They have anti-Semitic protests sweeping the streets in Toronto. and he was slammed like for this lack of awareness. He's on the other. She's playing. He's at the concert having drinks, you know, dancing, partying with his friends, and you know, then of course he's wearing the Swiftie bracelets. You're a grown ass man. If you are wearing Swiftie bracelets, I feel like if the punishment was chopping your wrist off, I wouldn't feel so bad about it. What is up with that? Like, I get it if you're a dad and you're going with your daughters and all that, but when you're a grown man and you're like, honey, let's go out for a date night. Let's go get our Swiftie bracelets on. I'm like, you realize that she's like mid-30s now, right? And you're like in your mid-40s. It's weird. Quit. Just come on. So Thanksgiving dinner is now considered historically affordable. What does that mean? I am historically ticked off at this historically stupid administration. So they said that the cost of this holiday feast is it's dropped 5% last year, guys. It's the lowest level since 2021. That makes it quote unquote historic. What? No one believes this. No one actually believes this nonsense. Do not try to sell me this. Oh, and then the prices are high, guys. Not because of government spending, but because eggs are scarce.
Oh, is that it?
That's what they're saying. That's literally the thing that they're saying. They're saying that eggs are scarce and scarcer and pricier. And here's why. Because the government won't stop. Actually, they don't say the government won't stop spending. They're trying to act like, oh, it's bird flu. No, it's not. You're using that as justification to explain your stupid high prices. That's horrible. And your government spending that's causing it. It's not bird flu. So coming up, drones, the Jeff Younger case, cab pics. Stick with us. Great organization, Preborn. If you have not heard of Preborn, I really want you to go check them out because they are amazing what they do. Preborn.com/Dana. And they are right there. They meet women when women are considering whether or not they're going to have a baby. And maybe, you know, they have an unplanned pregnancy and they're making a decision. And what Preborn does is they meet these women where they are and they give them an ultrasound so that they can meet their babies and hear their baby's heartbeat. And did you know that when this happens, the baby's chance at life doubles? One of the things that I love about Preborn is they don't stop there. They partner with this woman up into the toddler years. They want to make sure she's set. Okay, we facilitated you meeting your child. You made your decision and we were encouraging you. And now we're also going to continue to minister to you, to help you. And they're there for diapers and car seats and, you know, maternity care to help with all of that stuff and get these women and these little families, you know, starting out on the right track. And that's huge. And I love the fact that it's a private faith-based organization that does this and it's not the government. And that's what it's all about. So your gift when you donate saves lives. Literally, all gifts are tax deductible. And Preborn has a 4-star charity rating, so you can give with confidence. And when you donate to them, you're purchasing ultrasounds for these women. And if you can do, like, you know, a huge leadership gift of $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, even any amount matters, any amount counts, any donation is amazing. But your generosity saves countless babies who needs it. So you can just text BABY to #250 or #250 or visit preborn.com/Dana. It's so simple to donate. Preborn.com/Dana or dial #250 and say keyword baby. We want to reach the goal of 1,500 ultrasound sponsorships and we can do it. That's preborn.com/Dana or dial #250 keyword baby.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. And we are at the bottom of this first hour. Welcome back to the program. We're going to get into these picks and all this stuff here coming up. I wanted to remark on this. I thought this was fascinating. So I noticed over the weekend, and I had retweeted it because I had asked a question about it. Elon Musk had tweeted this video out. Let me pull this up. It's this. It's all of these. It's like drones that are getting into formation. It's really interesting. And it's this video and it's showing, you know, all the stuff that drones are actually terrifying when you think about it. Right. Especially when you're using them in warfare, because you would have to essentially use an EMP, right, to take, unless there's like something that's a little bit more siloed in terms of affecting, you know, this particular like squadron of drones. And Juan's showing you on the simulcast right now, this video that Musk had put out there. And, you know, it's terrifying because they don't even actually make like a lot of sound, right? And we can joke and be like, oh yeah, you can use them for skeet shooting and all that. Yeah, but you know, also like in warfare, it's I don't know how you defend against it. I'm sure that smart people have answers, but warfare is changing. And one of the other things that's changing too is, or needs to, is the way that we approach it. And so I was talking to some folks about this over the weekend, and I've heard a lot, like so many from my friends who've served, and obviously, you know, reading about the difficulties with the people who are the warfighters who have warfighting experience and aren't pencil pushers, who are trying to tell the people who are pencil pushers or who are maybe in the, you know, civilians and, you know, not in their sector, trying to get them to understand how you the agility that the budget requires. And I bring this up because there's this, what is it? It's the Great Eagle, right? That's like one of the drones that were, it's like a British, isn't it a British, it's like a British drone. And it's like, I think one of the ones that we've been using, it's the MQ-1C. And this is, it's an unmanned aircraft system, right? I think it's a British thing. It's one of the ones that we use. And it's, and I mean, it looks hardcore. But they're getting shot out of the sky like you wouldn't believe by the Houthis. And because now Houthis can get, apparently they're a lot more affordable now, the surface-to-air missiles. It's also, by the way, things are also a lot more affordable for terrorists like the Houthis and Hamas and Hezbollah when you unfreeze a lot of Iranian assets, including the cash that were part of the sanctions that we had frozen, that Biden-Harris unfroze, and they were able to... Amazing how they started getting all this stuff after that happened. It just blows the mind, right? I'm sure it's a crazy coincidence. Sure. So talking with some of these folks, when we go out and we do these acquisitions of whether it's jets, whether it's drones or whatever, the bureaucracy and getting this done, getting the contract done, and usually it's some congressman that goes out and wins it for their district. And so they're very proprietary about it and they're bringing a big trophy home for their district and that helps them get reelected. There's so many tentacles in this stuff. So when they make these acquisitions and they get this, get this stuff, you're talking about building something with the tech and parts of today. Maybe it's deliverable in 8 to 10 years. And by that time, it's already outmoded by the time it's delivered. By the time the contract is realized or fulfilled, it's already outmoded. And in the meantime, you know, you have these other entities and people that are geopolitical opponents that are not having to deal with that much bureaucracy and doing all that stuff. And they're able to kind of be faster and more agile in terms of responding and progressing with these sorts of, with this sorts of weaponry. And my mind was blown when I heard the price tag. You're talking about billions and billions of dollars. Just recently, they cut this program. They had a contract out with this particular type of jet. It was like a $22 billion contract. And they ended up canceling it. The Army did, because it was not going to be deliverable, I think, until 2033. They had started it already a few years ago. And by the time it was going to be delivered, a lot of the software and everything else is going to be outmoded. I'm not kidding you. And I'm looking at these drones in this video that Musk put up. And I don't know who's writing these contracts or in our government or our military. Why would you not have, and maybe this is me not knowing about military acquisition of this stuff, but my civilian brain is going, why would you not have a caveat that in order for this contract to be considered legit or fulfilled and not voided is if you are keeping up with the technology and any latest hardware or anything like that, so that it is, by the time it's delivered, the latest. Shouldn't that also be part of the job? I mean, it's just what you would think. It's wild, wild to me. So I don't know. I was looking at this and there was a huge debate about it last night because Musk had already talked about the F-35 and was, it's still, you know, it's an advanced fighter jet, but I'm telling you, the necessity of progression is calling. I mean, with drones and F-35, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into this. And it's difficult for our warfighters to be able to make these calls because they're drowning in these legacy defense contracts that tie us to stuff that's outmoded by the time it's fulfilled. And then we are watching, you know, our geopolitical foes not have to deal with that level of bureaucracy. And people go, yeah, well, that's because they're communists or they're dictators and they don't have to go. Don't pretend that this bureaucracy is like something that's a feature of a system that's representing the people. It's bureaucracy because it's War Inc. legacy contracts. It's all these defense contractors that are trying to get their hands in the pie. That's exactly what it is. I mean, it was amazing listening to some of the price tags on some of this stuff. You want to talk about things that could be cut? I'm all for, and I think really having our defense as our federal government's sole job. All of this other stuff is stuff that we have grown apathetic. We've been gluttons on the legacy of other people. I mean, we've coasted on what the founders have built for us for quite a long time. That's how amazing their efforts were. We've coasted on it for a while, and we're gluttons. And it's great to be a glutton of freedom, but you also have to put in as much to it in terms of protecting it and exercising it and practicing it and defending it as you do exercising it as well. I mean, it's incredibly important because now we have all of this stuff that the federal government does, and it's like defense spending is like falling. And I don't believe all defense spending is a sacred cow either. Don't mistake me. But when I'm paying an ungodly amount to the IRS in taxes every quarter, and you guys would have a stroke and die. I could hire a ton of people. We'd have our brand new studio, but I have to give an ungodly amount in taxes to the federal government. So think about it. When you are just Article 1, Section 8, people are going to be run. You're going to be running a budget surplus. You take all of your spending down to what you're federally allowed to spend it on. And then you go through these legacy defense contracts. If this is not going to be up to snuff and it's not going to be actual, it's going to be anachronistic by the time it's fulfilled, then no, piss off. You're not going to have this kind. We're going to change this. We're going to have actual good contracts that require people to fulfill something that is as technologically advanced as our geopolitical foes the day that it's delivered. Or better. And we have the ability to do it. And so all of that stuff has to happen. All of that stuff has to happen. I was having a conversation with some folks in the military about recruitment. And, you know, on this as well, because I'm looking at all of this tech, I'm looking at the hardware, looking at all these things. And, you know, my comment, and I'm a very, very forthright person. Like, excuse me, but I don't know why we're talking about all this other, you know, why we're dealing with recruitment when we haven't dealt with the big issues right now that is stymieing recruitment. Because, you know, you have young males out there that are fighting age that are looking at dudes in dresses with lipstick on and fake boobs and they got medals on their jackets and they're in skirts. And then you've got, you know, the 13 service members that were abandoned in Afghanistan and sent to their deaths by an absolutely bungled op. Like, there's numerous examples that we could give. And that's something that young adult males see. And they are like, well, wait a minute, because why would they join something like that? That doesn't have the best interest of the operation as its priority. I'm not talking about the military nannying young men that are going into it and acting like we're going to make sure nothing happens to you. You know, when that's part of the threat or risk when you go into the military, something could happen. But when you don't have a clear operate, you don't have a clear objective, and you have mission creep and operational failure and just dumbassery, why would you expect any young adult male to want to enlist and participate in that when they don't have the confidence in their leadership because the leadership hasn't demonstrated it? So that was a question that I had asked. It was very interesting. But this is one of the things that just blows my mind with our military. Like with the food acquisition, do you know one of the reasons that the food is so expensive for our military? Remember when I was telling you about one of the problems that the federal government created for itself in building those electric charging stations all over the country, and how it was they actually had it baked into their regulations that they had to purchase X amount of materials and have X amount of the construction be done by DEI businesses that checked all the DEI stuff. Like, you could be a Mexican business owner, but if you didn't have any females on your staff, you're not going to be considered. You could be a lesbian business owner, but if you didn't have a translator on your staff, you couldn't be considered. I mean, that's how crazy it was. You have to have a multitude of boxes to check. That's why none of them got built. And that's according to Department of Transportation employees themselves. The same thing, literally, with food acquisition by military. So if you have the army that wants to buy a bunch of chickens, and the military is the big, and I didn't realize this, they're the biggest purchasers of chickens, right? You want to go to Purdue and you want to buy a bunch of chickens? They don't check all the DEI boxes. You better find, a one-armed, half-blind lesbian who identifies as a man. You better go find her and buy your birds from her. Also, she hopefully better have a translator on staff. I'm not kidding you. So you got these people that will buy chickens from Purdue. They'll check all the DEI boxes and upsell it to the military. So we're paying taxpayers more for these birds than what we would normally pay because we're blocked from just buying it from the damn source. That is one of the things that's making it the hellscape for our military members and just acquiring food. It is crazy. What in the world? They need to go in there with a machete. Cut all this nonsense. We should be, you know what? Our warfighters should be eating. I'm paying my taxes. The one thing I want my federal government to do is have a kick-ass force of lethality. That is what I want. I want them eating the best beef. I want them all on testosterone. I want them to have whatever they want to have the best chicken, whatever you need, boys and ladies, you got it. That's what, because when they go out there to do what they do, I want them to do it the best that they can do it and be the best that they can be and bring it home. That's it. Go out there, minimal loss of life, minimal loss of resources. Just go out there, fist in the air, all pedal, no brakes, and then come back home. But you can't do that with this bureaucracy. We are setting them up for failure with all of this bureaucracy. It's enraging. Absolutely enraging. Well, I'm not even done yet for today. We got more because we got to talk about the Surgeon General nomination. We got to talk about the Surgeon General nomination. That's where we're at. Our friends over at Byrna. This is an interesting, it's like a neat way to diversify your self-defense options. It's a great way to do so because with the Byrna gun, it's a non-firearm firearm. So anytime you see a gun-free zone sign, Byrna gun is immune to it. It doesn't really care because you don't have to. It's a non-firearm firearm. Like I said, what it does is it shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can stop threats from up to 50 feet away. It's a pretty powerful deterrent. And it's great in those gun-free zone, those magical gun-free zone places where you're prevented from carrying. And I would like to not have to go to those places too. But I got to work for a living, as do a lot of you. And so sometimes you've got to go to those places. So why should you, though? Why should you have to sacrifice your security and your safety with a gun-free, that's where the Byrna comes in. Now, I'm always going to tell people to carry. I have no problem using lethal force, but I also am all going to encourage people to diversify your defensive options. It's just a smart thing to do. So there's no waiting period with the Byrna gun, no background checks. It's legal in all 50 states. It's actually, the Byrna SD is the most popular model. So five of my friends now have gotten the Byrna SD, and I know it's also popular with law enforcement that are also looking for diversification of their weaponry array. So you can act now from November 29th to December 2nd. You're going to get 15% off site-wide on all of the products because they have different models too. They also have different accessories, the whole nine yards. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 15% off site-wide. It's BYRNA.com/Dana for 15% off.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
So this is Kamala voter. She hit this car.
You're not hurt.
No, but we're broke.
What?
We're broke, and we can't afford irons.
It's not my problem.
Why can't you have a heart? Have a heart. Please.
No.
You.
So she hit a car.
Oh no, the car's bruised.
And is having a breakdown. She's a Kamala voter.
It's cosmetic bullshit.
Apparently, she's got Kamala stuff on her car. Oh my gosh! This is what happens when you don't teach people how to deal with emotions.
Is she injured in
I think so much of it, by the way, like when she's not like super, she's like pretending to be upset because she thinks that that woman's going to leave her alone if she acts like a nut job. When you do that, I want to press harder. And this woman was like, no, you hit my car. I'm not, you know, what do you mean have a heart? Why didn't you have a heart? And does she not know? Maybe that woman's broke too. Maybe that woman can't afford to fix her car. That means she would have to fix her car out of her pocket. And apparently it was like bad. I don't know. Like she's uninsured, didn't have insurance. You can't. I don't know. I find that fascinating because those are all the people that tell you you have to have insurance to even own a firearm. But yet that chick didn't even have insurance to drive a car.
I have a heart.
And she was punching it. Didn't it sound like performative though?
Oh, very.
Like she didn't really.
All of the left whining is performative. All of it.
I don't know. It's wild. This is what happens when you teach people how to not. Like how to not deal with emotion. And this chick has no idea how to deal with anything. Does she act like that over, golly, can you imagine having to rely on her in an emergency? Jeez, I can't. All right, so coming up, this is what we got. We got to talk about this Surgeon General nominee because, yeah, we got to have this conversation. We're also going to get into, we got some culture stuff for you as well. But we got the cab stuff. We got, HBO has to defend J.K. Rowling now. I really do feel like things are kind of resetting a bit. Mm-hmm. It does sort of feel that way. So we're going to get into that. We've got the case of this father who just lost his kids because he would not affirm one of his elementary school sons. Well, the ex-wife claimed that the boy, and they're twins, that one of the twins wanted to be a girl, except really no. We're going to talk about all of that. That's a crazy case that started in Texas. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. Second hour on the way.
First of all, vaccines save lives. And I am so excited and I thank and I commend Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg for taking action because this affects everyone. This affects our children. It affects adults. I mean, just look at the recent measles outbreak, the biggest outbreak that we've had in decades with measles. And that's no joke. Measles can cause brain inflammation and pneumonia and ear infections and hearing loss and death. So it's about time that they are taking action. And I hope and pray that other social media platforms will follow suit.
This is the pick for Surgeon General. And this is one of the picks I know that we're all like, what? Because so far, you know, I've had questions. I've only had one other hard objection. And then the others, I'm like, why? Or I'm not a fan of it. But they're out of it. And I think that's a pretty good track record. There's only two. And this is one of them that I'm like, oh, hell no. Oh, absolutely not. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of the second hour. And it's Thanksgiving Eve, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Eve. You can find us over at Substack. You can also find us Channel 347 Direct TV, the chats at Rumble, YouTube, X, all kinds of good stuff. So this is one of the big, this blew up over really going Friday going into the weekend. It blew up. So this is one of the cabinet picks, and if you want to follow along with it, you can over at Substack. Lorraine's piece, the Trump's cabinet draft is almost complete. You can go and check it out because it gets into kind of the scorecard, 23 out of the 27 announced. This is a rough one, though. So this is who you heard. This is flashback audio of Dr. Jeanette Neshawat as Surgeon General. And there's a lot of audio. She was a big-time Fauci supporter, which I think it's important to state all this. She was a big-time Fauci supporter. She was she, in fact, like audio soundbite two, she was telling people don't go to Florida because remember Florida didn't lock down. And she was saying that it was like dangerous. Listen to this stuff. This is two, sorry.
It's not a good idea to go to Florida. I would say look for an alternative.
Really? Audio soundbite four. Here she is talking about Dr. Fauci.
I have so much respect for Dr. Fauci. His number one priority are patients, not politics. And
oh
that I actually watched his full interview yesterday. That network, they twisted his words.
Oh, my
he didn't
gosh.
Absolutely say, yes, what? We should have done this. He said, you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda. Of course, in any situation, if you Dude. Start from negative day, a negative
exactly.
timing back in November, it would have been a better outcome. He was generalizing his statement, but they twisted his words. I think what he's doing is doing everything in his power to protect Americans. That's what we need.
Oh, my gosh. And there's so much of this stuff. I mean, she was even, this is on masks, audio sound by five. This is her. This is the pick for Surgeon General. This is her on masks.
So if you go outside and there's no one around, then the risk of you picking up the virus is low. But consider this. There could have been someone walking by who coughed and sneezed. And remember, this virus can remain in the air for a few hours. So you are taking that chance of, you know, even though no one's there, was there someone there 2 minutes prior and you could have just walked into the virus and have inhaled
it. It's not just the mask and all of this stuff. She's also a big pro-abortion advocate. Audio soundbite six. This is a flashback to her discussing that very issue. Listen.
Strict law that might be passed, bill that might be passed. But as a doctor, I'm concerned for safety. I'm concerned, are we going to see an uprising back alley abortions? Am I going to see young teenagers trying to involuntarily hurt themselves by trying to self-abort their fetuses out of fear and not knowing what to do and not having alternatives?
There's audio of her praising social media platforms like Facebook for censoring anything about COVID, like questioning dissent, all of that stuff. She was encouraging the censorship of COVID information on social media platforms. And I'm just shocked. She's got, I mean, if you're looking at her credentials on paper, sure. You know, she's board certified physician in family medicine. She's on Fox all the time. She's, you know, and the Surgeon General, you basically, you know, you're bringing awareness to different health issues. Like technically, they always make it about the health issues that are their priority. And then they head up the U.S. Public Health Service. But I mean, I just feel like why are we in this position putting someone? This is the first general election after lockdown, after coronavirus, after Wu flu. Why are we putting someone in this position that championed the things that we opposed and that we had questioned? And I know some say, well, you know, she began, and I've had a number of friends, you know, try to play devil's advocate. And one of my friends who's kind of a moderate actually thinks that there's this, she's not going to have an issue and that this, you know, this is a fine pick. She's like, oh, you know, well, she started, you know, realizing that the government injections, you know, the quote unquote vaccines, that they were ineffective, the efficacy, there wasn't any, you know, later on. I'm like, what? I'm like, but she was also one of the people that contributed to the misinformation about your natural immune system. I mean, you're a doctor. I think when you're a doctor and you are a medically trained individual, you don't get the justification of, you know this. You know this stuff. We knew this about natural immunity. She's praising Fauci, who went out and began all of this stuff with COVID, saying, yeah, natural immunity, if you get it, then you're already immune. And then he changed his tune and then began arguing that, no, you need to get your natural immunity is not enough. You've got to get these government shots. And she's praising him. I mean, you're a doctor. There's certain things that don't change no matter what you know or don't know about a particular virus. It's a virus. And so you know that because it's a virus, it's going to behave as a virus does. There's no inoculation. There is just, you know, you just have to deal with it and you have to adapt there that your natural immune system works. We knew that the particles of this virus were too small for any kind of masks to be effective unless you're wearing a full-on fallout era gas mask. They know all this stuff. And because she's a doctor, the bar's higher for her, I feel. So I even give her less of a pass for that. I mean, Kane, don't you agree or am I being too harsh?
I don't
think I'm being harsh at all. There's a lot of problems with this. A lot of problems. She was blasting Florida's response from the beginning. She was blasting Florida for not locking down. And it turned out that was the state that best had the best response to it. She was wrong on a lot of stuff from the get out. And the fact that she was praising censorship on social media platforms, and she felt that her medical background gave her authority to call for censorship, that's disqualifying without anything else. I don't know. Did she? So there's only two choices with her. She either said the stuff that she said and she knew that she was lying, but she didn't want to get fired or didn't want to rock the boat, or she believed all of the nonsense that she said. There is no other way. I think that she ought to be pulled immediately. Again, voters gave a mandate during the election. We were wrecked from the stuff that this chick promoted. Why in the hell are we considering people that made us go through the worst period in modern history with lockdowns? It wrecked our, No. Pull this broad. I am not being nice about it at all. There are an entire generation of kids that was forced into lockdown because of the weird stuff that this lady promoted. There are people that have injuries from injections because of the stuff this lady promoted. There are people who were set back academically and health-wise because they had a single mask and double mask because of the stuff that this lady promoted. If you support this woman as Surgeon General, then COVID meant nothing to you. The lockdown meant nothing to you. None of this stuff meant anything. We wanted a reckoning. We didn't want more of the same crap. She needs to be pulled. She is disqualifying. Her nomination, she is literally a sentient middle finger to America for everything that we suffered. And you have every right to be as pissed off about it as I am. How many of you have kids who missed out on years of education or sports? I have friends whose kids missed out on scholarships. I have friends whose kids dropped out of med school because everything locked down. There are people who lost their businesses, their livelihoods, because of the anti-science nonsense people like her peddled. And we're supposed to consider her as a Surgeon General nominee? Out of all the nominees, even more so than Pam Bondi, I find hers the most sickening. Pam Bondi, I was mad because of 2nd, 4th, 5th, 14th, and 16th Amendment issues. This, did we not learn anything from lockdown? I mean, I guess the people who are okay with her nomination, I would love to know what the luxury of not watching kids be isolated was like. I envy you. I mean, what a luxury you have. What a luxury to not have lost your business, not have been put out into the street because your business was shut down due to the policies this woman promoted. What a luxury. Unfortunately, we have some Americans in this country that, well, they don't have such luxuries. And in fact, they're still struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their head because their lives were irrevocably damaged by the anti-science nonsense promoted by people like this woman. And then we're supposed to be civil when considering her as a nominee for U.S. Surgeon General. I am still angry over what it did to the generation of, including my kids. And because I prioritize my family over ass kissing for some nominee for U.S. Surgeon General, I'm going to stay mad about it. And you should too. This is a bad pick. She needs to be pulled. It is an affront to the American voter. This is not what we went and voted for on election day. We did not vote for this. We did not vote for Fauci with boobs. We did not vote for that. Now, that being said, some of the other picks, I actually have less of a problem. I can't even believe I'm saying this. I have a problem with Pam Bondi, but I have less of a problem with Pam Bondi than I do with her. Wild, right? I still have a problem with Pam Bondi. I think as AG, you can't have an attorney general who doesn't respect the 2nd, 4th, 5th. I mean, 14th amendments. I mean, where can we keep going? It's a big issue. A huge issue. Some of these other picks that we're looking at, and again, there's a whole list that's marking, keeping all of them in check for you. We got to get into Secretary of Labor. I haven't even started that one. That's another one that I'm like, no. There are, of these picks, and I didn't include her in the beginning, going through the list, there's three that I think are disqualifying, and this one is another one. Lori Chavez de Remer, Secretary of Labor. We're going to talk about that coming up. That's another bad pick. And then we got some good stuff. We're going to get into all of that as well.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I just saw this headline. It's fascinating. Billionaires are creating life-extending pills for the rich, but a CEO warns that they're going to lead to a planet of posh zombies. It'll turn the rich into posh, privileged zombies. Like, they said that AI and biotech are evolving at such a rapid pace that anti-aging tablets are probably years away. We need to... Do we want to live forever? Because I just get more annoyed with, like, the world as the years go by. And I can't even imagine if I was living to, like, you know, biblical Old Testament ages. Really? Do we want to live forever? I don't know. I feel like no. At some point, I'm just done with it, you know? I'm okay in saying that. All right, as we move on here, because that's kind of, I know it's a little bit more of it, but that's okay. High mileage electric car usage is working out almost twice as expensive as gas. Oh, who could have saw that coming? Who could have seen that coming, Kane? Who would have known? Yeah, they said there literally is a whole thing over here at some progressive over at this British publication who covers, he likes to write about electric cars and petrol. And he said that what's promised isn't always what you get with electric cars. My 11,000 miles in a Ford Mustang Mach-E proved it's far from an EV panacea. Oh, you think so? Really? Yes, we could have, any of us could have told you that. Literally any of us. Also, let's see here. Ex-Google CEO, former CEO of Google, Eric Schmidt, says that AI is going to shape identity and that normal people are not ready for it. Yeah. Are there normal people left? I just think there's very few. It's a diminishing species, I think, of person. But he says normal people are, of course normal people aren't ready for it. They said that there should be AI. I think we're, honestly, I think that the damage is already done and it's like sun damage. You're not going to realize it until years later. Don't you think so? Am I being a fatalist? Yes. It's okay. It's true. At least I'm being honest and I'm not going to be disappointed later. I'll be disappointed now and then I'll acclimate to it, you know, and adapt. And then by the time everyone else fully gets disappointed, I'm going to be fine. They keep trying to make Blue Sky into something. So Blue Sky is like the progressive version of X, like how the CCP has their own thing. And so all the progressives have been going to Blue Sky and apparently everybody is getting reported on times infinity. And the app can barely work because everybody's getting reported for something. And San Francisco was hit with a rare flash flood warning amid the California atmospheric river. Was it enough to wash away the needles and feces? Probably not. Worth a try, though, said the Lord. All right, as we move, we got a lot more on the way. The labor pick, the labor secretary pick. We're going to get into that more. Stick with us.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We're at the bottom of the second hour. I'm a little loopy today. I'm just going to tell you, because you know, you get towards Thanksgiving and I had a working weekend and drove back from Austin late last night. By the way, can I just say, like every trucker that was on the road last night driving back, and I hate not being in charge of my own travel, by the way. So that's why I was like, I'm not going to fly. It's just the same if you drive and I'm in charge. But I got to say, driving back from Austin back to Dallas, Fort Worth last night, I've never seen an assembly like more polite truckers in my life. Because all the good truckers out there know, sometimes you'll get that one who wants to stay in the fast lane and he doesn't want to pass any of the other truckers. And then all the truckers get behind that guy and you can tell they're all mad. And I like would live to be on the CB at that time. Like, oh my gosh, what are these guys saying? It would be, that's like a reality show. I would totally watch that. But everybody was like so like perfect last night. I felt like we were all like a giant team. We were all like, yes, you're in your lane. I'm going to get, you know, here's my, I'm getting like super far ahead of you courtesy wise over. And here's my, it was just so nice last night. And I never, ever have. Usually there's always some jack wagon when you're, you know, on road trips or a bunch of them. Everybody was so cool last night. I don't know why. Was it a full moon? What was happening last night? Why was everyone so nice? It makes me suspicious. I'm immediately like, But it was great. It was so nice. Like everybody was, you know, and there was no impediment to traffic, nothing. It was great. Even on construction areas, it was so nice. So I'm just high-fiving all the truckers that were on the road last night. That was nice. All right. So welcome back. We got to talk about this other pick. I know. And then we're going to get into some of the fun stuff. But let's just get like, this is the eating the Brussels sprouts portion of your meal. We've got to get through this. And then we're going to get to the fun stuff, like the mac and cheese, right? And then like the dessert and all that later. I kind of get through this though. So we just went over why Dr. Jeanette Nashowitz was not a great pick for Surgeon General. We got to talk about this Labor Secretary. So Lori Chavez de Remmer is being pushed as the Secretary of Labor. She's got Sean O'Brien. He's Teamsters president, his endorsement, which immediately anybody who's a small business owner, freelancers, you know, contract workers, all this stuff, they're like, whoa, 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 hold up. What? O'Brien has been raising her name as a pick for the role for quite some time. And there are a lot of moderate Republicans on the Hill that have been advocating for her as well. And I know, I don't know why we're doing this. We had a fight through the National Labor Relations Board under Biden and Harris, who were going at small businesses, going at freelancers, the independent contractors or professionals and entrepreneurs and all of that stuff. I mean, there were a lot of people. In fact, it was one of the other issues that saw a lot of common ground with Democrats and Republicans and independents and, you know, whatever. And they had to sue. It was, there were a group of people that ended up suing U.S. Department of Labor, because they had their, or ended up suing rather over this rule. It was this, part of it was Fight for Freelancers and other groups that went after the Department of Labor because they, that was like one of the favorite tactics of Biden and Harris, is they were trying to go after that final independent contractor rule and the PRO Act and all this stuff. And so she's like a big PRO Act advocate. And they were using, because Biden and Harris couldn't get what they wanted regarding like independent contractors, et cetera, through Congress, they were trying to use bureaucratic means and do an end run around Congress, like what they do with everything else. So if you, Red State has some good background and other, there are a couple other entities on the PRO Act, because it was bad. And you had a bunch of these groups that decided to sue over this because of the people that they were going after over it. For instance, they had a case in, it was New York, and they were talking about some of the corruption in one of the local chapters and vote rigging and all this other stuff. And I mean, there's a lot of background into it. You had people who were trying to exercise their 1A right, objecting to all of this, to opt out of union membership. And California, they were trying to divest employees and blunt their First Amendment rights when they were trying to challenge things. There's a lot of crazy stuff that goes into this. And Democrats are big. They were really supportive of all of these measures. The PRO Act, this is the other part that was going after freelancer jobs. Do you guys remember, let me pull my notes, this AB5. I forgot the name of the legislation. So this was something that in California, where you had Gavin Newsom, Adam Schiff, you know, all these people, they were going after the independent contractors, and they wanted to criminalize freelancing work with very few heavily regulated exceptions. And they wanted to force everybody who was a freelancer into W-2 work, right? And when these people had no desire to be someone's employee, they didn't want to work under someone. And it was devastating. I mean, it was absolutely devastating to the freelancer community. And there were, what, hundreds of thousands. Some were saying it was millions, and it probably was, freelancers that were just kind of sidelined. There was one person who was writing, this was Jim Thompson, who wrote about how he was a freelancer. He was a sports cartoonist for the LA Times. And AB5 became operative in the year 2020. That's when he was working for the LA Times. And he said that the bill had like very few exceptions for some independent contractors, like some lawyers and that. But his newspaper cartoonist job wasn't on the list. And so they have these like, they had an arbitrary list of submissions, like a limit of 35. And this is what they decided to just, you know, legislate. They had an arbitrary and idiotic submissions limit of 35. They have no idea. He has no idea why they came to that number. And they had a bill to fix. They had literally had to write another bill to fix the typos in AB5. Did you guys know that? The AB5 bill was so poorly written, they literally had to introduce another bill to fix all the grammatical errors and spelling mistakes. I don't know. And to fix the other problems with it, because there were some other stupid problems with it. So they were going after, AFL-CIO was telling freelancers, you don't have anything to fear, blah, 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 but we know that's, no, no, no. But it killed freelancer jobs. I mean, it damaged the economy. I know so many people who work in the gig economy who were opposed to that. Anyway, long story short, all of these issues, this nominee is on the wrong side of. Is absolutely on the wrong side of it. I mean, I am kind of shocked that this was sort of, this nominee was sort of put forward. Considering all of the stuff that we oppose, and not just people that I would say are on the right coalition, but independents and moderates. Again, this was like immigration and some of these other issues. This was one of the other issues that really we had a lot of common ground on. There are a couple of really good, like she co-sponsored a bill. And this was and she was one of the people who co-sponsored that PRO Act. And that's the Protecting the Right to Organize, the PRO Act, except they're always named, like legislation is always named after something that it really doesn't do, right? Like the Inflation Reduction. What should the Inflation Reduction Act have been called, Kane? Because it didn't reduce inflation.
Yeah, no.
Well, oh, it was about green energy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Democrats, they passed this in 2020, 2021, blah, blah, blah. They've been fighting over the PRO Act. I don't know. It's just, none of this is good. This is the kind of big government, like anti-gig, really kind of anti-worker stuff that you really kind of expect from Democrats. I don't know why Democrats ever had the title of the Workers' Party or the assumption that they were the Workers' Party, because the decisions that they make are so anti-worker. I mean, that have led to outsourcing of jobs and lowered wages and lowered protections and everything else. I'm stunned that people think that they are like a party for workers. So I don't know. She seems exactly like the type of moderate Republican that doesn't understand labor. And she doesn't understand, as well as the gig economy, she doesn't understand how the two can coexist. And the legislation that she has championed previously and had sponsored previously is testament to that. I don't know anyone. I actually don't even know Democrats of my acquaintance who like her. Do you? I don't know anybody that likes her. There's a lot of problems with it. A lot of problems with her. Lorraine has some stuff over at Substack. If you go over to our Substack chapter and verse, she's got a big thing about the PRO Act and, you know, how there were some people. And I think if you're a worker and you want to be able to use your First Amendment to opt out of something and not be represented by something, that's fine. You should be able to do that. And you also should be able, if you're a gig worker, to be able to protect your ability to work for yourself and yourself alone and not be, you know, shuffled under another entity or be made into a W-2 employee. You should be able to do that. I mean, the PRO Act, I mean, you're talking about eliminating a lot of those protections, right to work laws. You're talking about eliminating all of this stuff and force everyone into representation that they do not want. And I don't think that people should be forced into. If you want to be in a union and you want to, then fine, you should be able to do that if that's what you choose. I don't believe that for public sector, because I am a taxpayer and I pay taxes and I should be at the table, and taxpayers are not invited to the table. when it concerns public unions. And I don't think government employees should be allowed to unionize either. But private unions, if they want to unionize, they have every right to. They can do whatever they want. And if someone wants to be a member of that union and they want to, they have every right to do that. But just like you wouldn't want, I honestly wouldn't want, I don't want to force people to join unions, and I don't want to force unions to accept people. I mean, if it's a privately run thing, I think it goes both ways. This legislation will not allow for any of that. That's a bad thing. I mean, there you have people who want to be independent workers, and that they set their entire lives up to be, you know, 1099 employees. And that's like what Uber, Instacart, Lyft, think about all of the, because so much because of digital and app, think about how much is gig economy now. Just think for a moment. There's a somebody that I went to college with, and one of the things that they do on the side, and then they started doing it on the side and it became their profession. They do paintings of your pets. Like, you know, like the old timey kind of old oil paintings. I almost said oil. Man, that Southern Missouri just came out right there, didn't it? I almost said oil paintings. Wow. Oil. Oil paintings. Pronunciation is a choice, Dana. That, anyway, my person I went to college with does these like oil paintings of your pets. Like, and like not huge things, like, you know, and it's just like a neat little gift. And that's like their full-time job now. They're their own employee. I wouldn't want to make her force. I wouldn't want to force her to into something, like into a union or to work under an employer. And that's one of the things that the PRO Act would do. This is also a bad pick. It's just a bad pick for labor secretary. Why in the world are we flirting around with this? Again, mandate. Act like you got one.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I seriously don't even understand. Like, some of the headlines I see, I'm like, what is your damage? What are you doing? All right, so let me get this lady out of the way. So this is, apparently, it was over at, I think this is over at Law and Crime. There was a Florida woman who apparently stole from the Target self-checkout. And then, you know how she got caught? She bragged about it on TikTok. Yeah. Why do people do this? Because and also, hang on, I'm trying to pull this up and the story won't pull up. This is like the fourth or fifth story that I've had where somebody was posting about the stuff that they stole on like social media, and then they get caught and they're like, I can't believe I got caught. This is crazy. What did you think you were doing when you posted about it? And when you're at the Target self-checkout, I'm curious as to whether or not self-checkouts experience more theft than not. But don't they have like a person there watching and like cameras and stuff?
They do now more than ever.
Okay. I can't get this. I think this. There's something wrong with it. I can't pull this headline up. So, but I have a whole bunch of other stuff. So we're going to get right into it. Let's see. So in the meantime, I lost everything. I've lost everything. Yeah, I apparently accidentally closed out all my headlines, all my floor. You know what? Please forgive us because it's Monday and we're crazy. This Florida man survived. This is an insane story. A 30-foot fall and over 100 bee stings. This is the second bee sting story that we had. This one guy was doing post-hurricane cleanup, and he fell 30 feet. And hit a roof, rolled to the ground, and the bees were stinging him the entire time. He had to actually go to the hospital to be treated because he does have like some sensitivity to bee stings. It's kind of crazy. I'm glad he's okay. A guy in Central Florida, he committed home burglary in boxer shorts. That seems dangerous and gross. And he tried to enter through a window in another house, and a man with a firearm shot him. When the deputies approached him, he began attacking the deputies. So yeah, he was completely arrested. Yeah. Third hour coming up next. Stick with us. Welcome back to the program. Yours truly, a retired little Christmas loving goth curmudgeon here at the top of this third hour. I accidentally started World War III on X because I asked a question about cranberries. Actually, I didn't ask a question. I said that.
You made a statement.
sliced canned cranberry is the only cranberry worth having on the table. Guys, if we have a civil war, it's not going to be over the stuff you think it's going to be about. It's going to be between the sliced cranberry people and the I made it from scratch cranberry people. It's really where it's going to be. It's going to be World War III over that. And then we're going to have to divide into like two nations, right? Sliced cranberry on one flag and on the other flag, whatever the hell they call that hippie granola with the cranberries in it. I don't know. It's weird. It is. You know, it's right. I feel like deer would love it. So I'm just going to let that sit there. Let's go on. Let's move on. I got something funny for you. You guys want to hear a joke? I've got a really funny joke. Okay. Here's my joke. Kamala Harris is telling her advisors and allies to keep her political options open. It's the best joke I've heard like this year. It's the best joke I've heard. This is what her insiders are saying. They're saying that she's telling people keep my options open. I don't know if she's thinking about running for governor. Really, I don't think she would be popular as governor in California. And I don't know. I mean, if she doesn't run for governor, I don't know, because it's going to be a pretty open race. And I don't know who they have that they're preparing to do it. I don't know, because the Senate seats are set. I mean, they're going to be filled by, I mean, you got Alex Padilla and Adam Schiff. So the Senate seats are set. I don't know. I mean, it looks like I feel like she thinks she can go for governor? Really? Her party doesn't like her. They're going to go back to not liking her. But apparently they're saying she wants to keep her instructions open. And apparently she hasn't ruled out a 2028 run. Oh, Gavin Newsom will mow her down for that. Oh my gosh. Hair gel? Oh yeah, he's going to mow her down for that. And no way that man is not going to run. He's preparing to run. His like whole everything is him preparing to run. That's what he's doing. So, no, that's like, of course he's going to. Can you imagine? Who's going to give her another billion to blow through? Right? Blow being an operative word. Who's going to give her the... What?
Be careful.
I was talking about because of the wind.
Just be careful.
With getting blown away? So, I don't know what... I don't know what she's going to spend... Because what was it? Like 1.2, 1.3 billion that she blew through? Yeah. Something insane, right? Yeah.
She still owes some 20-something million.
That's right. She's in debt 20 million. Why is she even considering, unless she's considering running because she wants to raise money to pay off her debt.
That's exactly.
And that's like probably the only thing that, right? That's what I'm thinking. I don't know. Just saying. It just seems... Because otherwise, I don't see what... There's no benefit to her. There's no benefit. This is an insane story. And I wanted to touch on this. I think I had it earlier in my rundown. But I wanted to bring this up. Have you guys heard about this case with Jeff Younger? This is one of the wildest... cases, I think that I don't know. He's a Texas dad, actually. Wasn't he in like Coppell? Not too far from us. So this dad, him and his wife got divorced. His name is Jeff Younger. His wife is Ann Gorgulis. And they had, they have a 12-year-old son that they got, he was going to get granted a full custody of his 12-year-old son. And he wanted to the ex-wife is. She was just granted that in California court this past week. He has twin boys, and one of the boys apparently is, from what they talked about in court, the 12-year-old boy would dress as a boy and do boy stuff at his dad's house. And then when he was with his mom, it was like his mom was like pushing this stuff on him. And so the mom insisted that the 12-year-old be transitioned, because the mom decided that the son was transgender. And the 12-year-old, she wanted to put him on hormone blockers and all of this stuff. Chemical castration, essentially, is what she wants to do to him. And the dad had been fighting this for quite a long time. a couple of years. They've been fighting with him for a while. And so then she moved from Texas to California, and she's raising the 12-year-old boy. And again, he's a twin, so there's two boys. She's raising him as a girl. She's been claiming that he is a girl for several years now. And when the dad, Jeff Younger, asked his son, you know, do you think that you're a girl? And he goes, and like, what do you think? And he was in the beginning when they were in court, it was like the son said he wanted to be a boy, and it was like he would only dress up when he was visiting, when he was at his mom's house and being with the mom. And so his ex-wife was wanting to do all of this hormone stuff, and all a court ruled that she could not seek transitioning treatment of their son previously. And she acknowledged the order. And then the Supreme Court of Texas ruled in December that she lacked the legal authority to consent to such therapy. But she's been pushing this entire time. And he said she was transitioning him when he was two, and the records support that. She put him in a gender clinic when he was five, and then she relocated to California so she could basically be in a better position to fight to have him transitioned. And then in 21, the judge in California gave her full custody over the 12-year-old boy, including his medical care. But they said that the control did not extend to the hormone suppression therapy and the puberty blockers and the reassignment surgery. They said the boy's dad had to sign off on that. Well, the mom didn't like that. And they were pushing it. And now he lost all parental rights over him. And I read, because I think that they did IVF, and apparently that's not even her biological child. Because I think she had like a donor. I read a story where they had one of the reports. It was in Texas media. Yeah. So I don't know. That's what this is an insane story to me for a number of different reasons. The California judge was the one who granted the mom all authority. And the dad he was a super involved dad. And then they had like an acrimonious divorce, and then the mom's doing this. It makes me wonder if she's not doing it to get at the dad. I don't know. But he says that, he was supposed to have visitation. He said that he sends letters and stuff to his sons, but his ex-wife is not required to make sure that they receive them. But now she's been released. She's free to go and seek the experimental surgery and chemically castrate him and all this stuff, which is wild. I don't know. Of course, she has her medical picture where she's wearing a cross necklace, which even the devil can quote scripture. It's so sad to me. This kid's 12 years old. She's been brainwashing this kid since he was a toddler. Before he even understands, concrete concepts or abstract concepts, she's pushing this stuff on him. To me, I feel like that's a form of abuse. I can't believe courtrooms don't see that, especially when it involves, a mom and a dad that are not on the same page. Wouldn't you want to err on the side of caution as opposed to just giving the mom the green light for chemical castration and then experimental surgery? I just feel like you would want to err on the side of caution with this. That just blows the mind that that's not what's happening here. So it's just so sad. It's just so sad. And they got divorced, and then apparently it sounds like she's just like she purchased all girl toys for the son. So when he was at his mom's house, he's playing with girl toys. He's got girl clothes. It really sounds like she was put. I mean, you're 2 years old. This is entirely an adult concept that they're transposing onto kids and then saying that the kids are actually choosing it because they feel like they have some greater purpose to help this child affirm who, they think they are. It's abusive. It's incredibly abusive. I feel so bad for this dad. I mean, I'm curious as to where some of the Texas leadership is on this. And a lot of, I was told by a friend that some of the churches in our area, since he's in Coppell, that's considered part of DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth. And there were apparently like churches that are afraid to speak out on this or help the dad because they don't want to lose any kind of tax exempt status. I think a lot of things need to happen here. But I'm just curious as to why I never saw. I mean, this is, feels like something Ken Paxton should be. I think Ken Paxton has mentioned this before. But a lot of these other lawmakers out there, where are they? Where's some of these lawmakers with us? I mean, I can't. Can you imagine not being able to really have any kind of parental control over your child? And you know that they're going to be chemically castrated, and it's not something they've ever had the freedom to come to a decision that they chose. They didn't have the freedom to choose it. It was pushed on them from toddlerhood. It's so abusive. Speaking of, like, related to this, so remember they've been trying to cancel J.K. Rowling for, I don't know how long now. How long they've been trying to cancel this woman? Years now. Ever since she spoke up in favor of
sanity,
in favor of women, protecting women's spaces and on sports teams and stuff, they've been trying to cancel her. Something fierce. So HBO has been forced into defending her because the woke scolds were demanding that she be removed from her own Harry Potter TV series. That seems a little, yeah, maybe not. That seems a little much. So HBO, to their credit, they're actually standing by her. That's kind of impressive because they had not, that was not something previously that I thought that they would. I mean, it's because it's Disney, but because they've got the Disney Harry Potter theme park. Apparently her name's on it. HBO. I guess everybody's standing, or she has blank you money and she can't be canceled there, and blank you power, because she's like a factory of stories. Yeah, they said that because they still have her name up on the stuff at Disney. They haven't taken her name off that. And HBO said that they're not taking her name off of the series because people were upset that she stuck up for women.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay. Let's see here. So first up, well, we told you the story. Harris is telling her advisors that they need to kind of keep her options open for her, whether it's maybe going for governor, going for Senate, something to that effect. This is crazy. Editorial, 4 in 10 Chicago public school teachers were chronically absent last year. Their median salary is $95,000. 4 in 10. 4 in 10 were absent. And that last year, the median salary is $95,000. I know, I'm without words. I don't quite. That's 21% more than teachers make in the suburbs. Yep. The median pay there is $78,000. These teachers are making $95,000. And CPS in Cook County, Chicago Public Schools pays its teachers more than any other large school district in the nation.
That just proves throwing more money at it doesn't fix it.
Completely. Totally not at all. It does not fix it at all. A unique cemetery says grieving relatives must pay for VIP passes to visit graves.
What?
This has to. So this is in Britain. It's in Longton, Stoke-on-Trent, and it's it doesn't look like it's anything but a normal cemetery. It cost $5 to visit a grave or cremation plot, $10 to visit the Rose Garden. And they're not going to come out in force with this. Well, it'll be in January. And they have electric gates, so you have to have a VIP pass to. Yeah.
But if I paid to have them buried there, that's me paying to visit whenever.
I don't know if you get the VIP pass if you pay to do that. Have them. I don't know, but I mean, I don't know of anybody who like goes and acts, unless it's like a veterans cemetery. People
this
you don't.
Reminds
know.
Me of like in-game purchasing.
It's in-game purchase, so you can pay to have someone buried here, but you have to pay for the access.
Right.
Of getting to them, yes. So this is, okay, speaking of dead stuff, oh gosh, a Colorado funeral homeowner was accused of letting 190 bodies decay. And they pled guilty to corpse abuse. That's, oh my gosh. Apparently they began storing their bodies in a decrepit building near Colorado Springs in 2019, and they gave families dry concrete in place of cremated remains. So somebody probably has like grandma in a jar on their mantle, and it's not grandma, it's just concrete. Yeah. So they're in a lot of trouble, John and Carrie Halford. It's called the Return to Nature Funeral Home. They began storing the bodies in this, and then they would give families the dry concrete. They just had the discovery last year that this was happening. They apparently spent extravagantly. They did laser body sculpting, fancy cars, luxury items, all that stuff. They pled guilty to fraud. That is insane. Stick with us. We got a lot more on the way.
On the go and need a quick news fix with a fun twist? Follow Dana's Absurd Truth Podcast for bite-sized informative episodes, perfect for your busy schedule on Apple or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Chat corrected me. Harry Potter theme park is in Universal, not Disney. I've never been, so I don't know. I've never been. Apparently, it looks pretty good. Didn't Disney put it out? Not the movies, not the theme park, though. Yeah. So J.K. Rowling's a moneymaker. We were talking about her earlier. HBO refused to cancel her off of her own series because the woke scolds were mad. Let's see. Can I go back to this thing that I can't? I don't like Frank Luntz. I cannot stand Frank Luntz. I can't stand him. I think that he is a giant meat sack of nothingness. I don't like him. I think he's a doofus. His polling is ridiculous. And then he says stupid stuff like the story that he's been pushing from CNBC. Oh, yeah, the average cost of the Thanksgiving dinner is that it's dropped 5% last year. Lowest since 2021. It's historic. $58.08. Wait a minute. Has anybody been to McDonald's? I saw someone saying that a family of four eats at McDonald's for like $60. You're telling me that an entire Thanksgiving dinner? Right. No. I don't think Frank is bougie. Frank does not cook. Frank does not shop. Okay. He's very out of touch. Turkeys alone are super expensive this year. I mean, they've been every year since we've had Biden in office. And then the pandemic made everything heinous. Yeah, it's a lot more than that. And I don't know. They were saying, and by the way, that's $58 for a 10-person gathering is what they're saying.
That is a lot.
It's like $60 for a family to eat, a family of four anymore at McDonald's with tax and all that. 10 people eating for a Thanksgiving dinner for $58. Sir, you are moronic. That is such a Kane's jaws on the foot. Yeah, it's not that much. It's not that much. It's more than that.
They're saying 10 people?
10 people. I mean, 10 people.
The turkey alone's 40-something bucks, depending where you get it.
Oh, exactly. I mean, I'm looking at the stuff that I have to pick up still. And I don't get, like, you know, bougie green beans or anything. I get, you know, I have same green beans that we all get, right? We all get the same stuff. And we're going to have 8 people. And... yeah, we're already like at 8 people. We're over what it would be even for 8 people. Already.
Yeah, I've spent $60 on just me and my son. What my son and I are going to do already. And that's just 2 people.
Yeah, this idea that it's $58.08 for 10 people. How many pounds of turkey is that? Hang on. Let's get into the meal part. This is important, guys.
So the average weight of a family turkey for Thanksgiving?
No, for 10 people.
Right. We'd have to know what
It'd have to be like, what, 13 away over that. What would you get for...
Yeah, I'd get about a 14-pound bird, probably. Yeah.
Because you got to figure maybe a little bit over a pound of turkey per person.
There are bigger birds out there. There's smaller ones, but there are bigger ones.
And then... like if you do anything, like if you bacon wrap it, or if you do any kind of, like if you're just doing your, you know, your typical base, because then you got to factor in your other stuff, and then you got to factor in seasonings, your herbs and spices. I don't know if you've bought fresh herbs. There's some stuff that we just can't grow, and then some stuff we haven't just in spades. But if I have to get an herb at the store, oh my gosh, it is so much more. I mean, you could probably get... what is it? Turkey's a little over Oh, let me pull this up. Isn't it over like a couple bucks a pound? Depending on, like, just like an average turkey median price?
Yeah, depending where you get it, you can get around $2 a pound, if not.
So Finance Buzz says it's like $2.08 a pound.
Right.
And so, yeah, you could get a 15-pound turkey. That's $31.
That's 30 bucks right there.
So how in the hell are you spending $58, Frank Luntz and CNBC? How are you spending $58.08 for a Thanksgiving meal for 10 people? Already a 15-pound turkey, and this was the median price of all the average pound. We ain't getting no bougie turkeys, right. No artisanal turkeys, okay?
And that
that's $31, and that's probably not with tax.
That highly prized cranberry sauce in the can also is not free.
You can't just shake someone's hand for that? Hang on. I'm at an Ocean Crest cranberry slice. So, yeah, that's like, depending on how many cans you get, that's a couple bucks. And you got 10.
Yeah.
And that's without tax. So you're probably looking at easy almost, what, hitting towards the $4 territory per can. So already you're getting up towards $40 just for some cranberry stuff, throwing some green beans, throwing a couple cans of green beans.
I mean, taters aren't free.
Yeah, taters aren't free. You're already over for 10 people. And you haven't even gotten into, like, your sodies, your breads, yep. None of that stuff. You ain't even gotten into dessert yet. So who is saying this? Like, what kind of meal are y'all eating where it's only 10 people can eat for $58?
I mean, is it potluck?
No.
Everybody bring.
Where do these people get this stuff? I don't know. This is just, it's infuriating.
They're still
trying
to gaslight us.
Check it out. So, yeah, easily $50 at McDonald's. Because then I can't believe the prices at McDonald's even. Oh, my gosh. Big Mac is without tax, it's $9.29. A Big Mac meal. Quarter pounder with cheese, $5.39. 10-piece nug, $9.19.
What if I want a McFlurry?
I don't even know, man. Don't ask. The ice cream machine's broken. Don't ask. This is already. And everybody's been saying, oh, man, you know, this is it. The Big Mac went up 20% and since 2019. So, yeah, four people easily over $58. And they're trying to gaslight you. And, oh, no, $58 for 10 people for Thanksgiving. Tell me you ain't never been in the kitchen without telling me you ain't never been in the kitchen. I'm going to turn into my grandmother here in a minute. I'm going to wrap a kerchief around my head.
Were they using tofurkey in their estimate?
What the hell kind of turkey is this? This is some like artisanal Vermont turkey. This is our artisanal turkey, our artisanal Thanksgiving turkey. Yeah, the turkeys listen to classical. Chopin is their favorite. And they relax and unwind and spend their days running through our meadows, and which also double as the postcards we sell to help boost business. You know, the turkeys, they all have friends. That's what I expect for that, you know, a bougie turkey. I don't know. We were talking earlier. The World War III is going to be over people's cranberry preferences. But I said sliced canned cranberry sauce is the only cranberry sauce worth having. And it is. Because it sounds great coming out of the can. And I always feel an immense lot of satisfaction sliding that, that's exactly what it sounds like too, out of that can. And it's on the plate. And then when you're able to lay it sideways and it's just perfect, you can just slice it up. Your cranberry loaf, slice it up. It can be the moist maker on your sandwiches. It's Kane's favorite word, moist. You can make, that's the, oh, so good. And I don't know the people who make the deer food, that is, the cranberry. That's not a sauce. That's like gobbledy granola gloop.
The deer food?
Yeah, it's like what I, actually reindeer. It's what I expect reindeer to eat. It has like weird nuts and stuff in it. And it's bitter and nasty and. And people are like, it's just tart. It's just tart. I had an aunt that would make it. Nobody ate it. Every damn year she'd make it. And you think someone would want to go, now, Glenda, you don't want to be making this. Nobody's eating this cranberry sauce. Nobody's eating. It's nasty. Everybody in our family was too polite. So that woman would make it every year. One year I actually put some on my plate and I dumped it in the trash like immediately because I wasn't going to eat it. But I felt bad because no one was eating it. And I heard some people talking. Nobody's eating it because it's disgusting. But man, you couldn't get enough of that cranberry sauce, that the sliced version. You couldn't get enough of. And then when you only had like that much left and everybody wants some, you got to slice it real thin. Got to get out the mandolin, you know, and like do it. Crazy. Yeah, that's the best way to do it. But I don't know. There are some people who prefer the gobble little granola hippie stuff. Some people prefer that. I'm not going to pretend to understand these people, but it is the wrong way to have your cranberries. It's the wrong, you know, you get it. The way that they harvest those is unbelievable. I feel like I'm turning into a cooking show and I don't mean to, but it's very important for me that we have the cranberry discussion. You agree with that too, right?
What? With what? Would that can's better than the make it yourself?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
It's how I grew up.
Yeah. That's how I grew up, eating cranberries the right way. Also, maybe, I don't know. Maybe that, can I just also say this? I always thought that the cranberry sauce that wasn't the sliced, that was rich people's cranberry. Right. When I was growing up, that was rich people's, that's rich people food.
I don't even know what it tastes like.
What?
I don't even know what the real cranberry sauce tastes like.
Yeah,
like,
you're not supposed to know. It's horrible.
It's bad.
Imagine like just straight cranberry juice with some more bitterness. That's just like that.
Do they have like walnuts or pecans in it or something?
Oh, yeah. And then you get a weird, like you're like, just as you're trying to understand this weird tasting, like hatefulness that you put in your mouth, yeah. then it's like, here's some nuts. And you get to crunch on those. it's so bad. Who eats this stuff? Some people put oranges in it. Kane just had a full stop. That literally was what you just did.
Well, maybe one day I'll have the rich person's cranberry sauce. I've never had it.
I think life has to be so good for you to eat that cranberry sauce that you give yourself that hell on the table. Just so you know what it's like for the folks who suffer.
Do they have the rich person's cranberry sauce in a can? Or is it like, is it just the Jell-O kind of one that just plops out as a cylinder?
I know, well, the cylindrical cranberry. Yeah.
That's
sauce.
Which is my favorite. That's the only one I know. It's the only one I know.
But
do they have the rich person kind in a can?
I don't think so. I've never seen it. Have you?
That comes out like deer food?
No, I don't think they do.
Okay.
They probably sell it in a kit in the salad section. But no, I legit was like, that is rich people's food. And I never, it looked pretty on the table, but that's, you know, jokingly, that's, you know, people who are happy and have, you know, and they have no complaints in life. They're the people who invented that cranberry sauce. And they put it on the table because everything is so great. I just don't know what suffering's like. Let me have a bite of this homemade cranberry sauce. Oh my gosh, the devil is real. And that's how that came to be. You know that, right? That's the story of that sauce.
I do love those details in history.
Well, it's a very important part of...
I just feel like we don't know enough about
American history.
Right.
Yeah.
It's important to know.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's very, very, it was created, you know, like you would whip yourself on your bed. And I don't do that, but, you know, that's like a thing. That's why people have that, so they can torture themselves. Oh. And remind themselves what good food tastes like, because that ain't it. All right. I'm almost done making fun of it. I'm going to get so much hate mail. It's okay. It's all right. I'm just going to eat my last cranberry sauce. Not read any of it. That's what I'll do. All right, we got more on the way. Oh, as we move towards today's
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Axios's CEO had a might all moment. Audio soundbite 23 in. Melting down over Elon Musk telling X users that they were the media now. Listen to this.
Everything we do is under fire. Elon Musk sits on Twitter every day or X today saying like, we are the media. You are the media. My message to Elon Musk is bullshit. You're not the media. You having
He's big now.
You having a blue check mark, a Twitter handle, and 300 words of cleverness doesn't make you a reporter.
Yes, it does.
You don't do that by popping off on Twitter.
Yes, it does. Yes, it
do
does.
By having an opinion.
Thou art wrong. Boo. No, it absolutely does. Anybody can tell stories in their area. Maybe if you you're not either, just because you can get behind a masthead that a leftist pays for, you think that makes you a journalist? Kane, do you know that the guy who was behind the rebrand at Jaguar?
I don't know him, but I've seen him.
Do you know his name?
No, I don't.
His name is Rawdon Glover. Rawdon Glover.
Really?
Rawdon Glover is his name. Mm-hmm.
What?
Rawdon Glover.
What was that first part?
Rawdon Glover?
Rawdon?
That's his actual name. I'm just saying he exists. He's a person who exists.
Oh.
Would you call him Raw for short?
Probably.
Anyway, he was trying to defend it and saying that that they just don't apparently understand it. Do you know that when they released that same ad in Middle Eastern countries, they removed the man dressed as a woman holding the hammer?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Rawdon Glover is his name. Did you get his name, Steve? Because I know you might need it, you know, if you're writing
Rawdon
up anything.
Before. Not, then I heard Rawdon.
Rawdon Glover?
Dong? Are you saying Dong?
His name is R-A-W.
Right.
D-O-N-G-L-O-V-E-R.
There is a G there. There's a G there. And O-G. We're about to end here.
Sorry. Just go into it. Just go.
Is it South African? Like, what is the name? Where does that come from? Is it...
Rawdonglover.
Nuh-uh.
So where are you? That is his name.
No, that someone's trolled you. Like that one.
Name.
Like that one plane where it's
I
like.
I don't want to tell you to Google it, but you may actually have to.
We
to
know.
Time for
holy fook! Remember that one? No, I think you got trolled.
That is actually the guy's name. I promise you. Anyway, that the Jaguar thing makes sense, right? God love you all. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Have a great night.